Good afternoon. I wanted to take a few minutes and go over some of the questions and comments we have received so that we might get a sense of the student body in this class and cover some of these important things. To begin with, we have this question. If there is only the presence and nothing in the material world means anything or is not real, then why do we do good works? Why bother being helpful or good if nothing you do on this outer world really matters? That's one question. And there's another question that goes with it. If the past never happened or the future is never going to happen, and it is only the now, why do we have problems from the past that still plague us, or why do we plan for an upcoming vacation? Now, I have to believe that I am still not explaining this adequately. So let me see if I can make it clearer. In the first place, what must be understood is that the concept that nothing out here is real is an erroneous concept. It's not that the world out here is unreal. It's not that this world out here is an illusion. It's not that the material world is, or the world in which we live is not there. No. Remember, Joel says, no illusion is ever externalized. And so the false world, the illusion that we are dealing with, is in the mind that is falsely seeing the real world. The only world out here is the real world of God's creating. The only world in which we live is the finished kingdom. But we see it with faulty vision. The illusion is in the mind. Let me go find parenthesis in eternity, because there's a chapter called Reality and Illusion that really brought this home for me. So I'll go get it and we'll read a little bit of it. Hang on a minute. All right. Now this ties in with the Thunder of Silence quite well. And listen up, because this is the whole secret to the whole thing. A complete secret to the whole thing. In this world of the senses, there is good and evil. And there is the centering of attention on changing the evil into good. And we talked about this when we talked about all of life is a changing the bad things into the good things and patching up the dream. But listen up, listen as best you can here. In my kingdom, the spiritual kingdom, we ignore the appearances and seek to realize spiritual truth, to realize God's grace, God's presence, and God's power. The moment that we feel a conscious oneness with God, that we make that contact within, the appearance changes. To our human sense, the evil appearance now has a good appearance. The appearance of lack has an abundant appearance. The sick appearance has a well appearance. Sometimes even the dead appearance has a live appearance. But we are not fooled by the changed appearances. We know that in seeking the kingdom of God within, we are merely beholding reality appearing, the grace of God appearing. We come face to face with God, we see Him as He is, and we are satisfied with that likeness. And here's where we're going to get into this. To understand the illusory nature of the finite world is to grasp the kernel of all mystical teaching. But if it is misunderstood, it can act as a deterrent to progress, as it has in India, which has one of the noblest spiritual heritage of any nation on earth. Perhaps the greatest of all the Indian seers was Gautama, the Buddha, whose revelation of absolute truth was so profound that while there are other revelations equal to it, there are none which have surpassed it. Gautama had the full realization of the one ego, capital E, the one I, which constitutes the consciousness of the universe. And he himself understood and proved that the appearance world is Maya, or illusion. Because of its fruitage, his message spread like wildfire across all of India. But his teaching of Maya was misunderstood. The belief that the world is an illusion led to a do-nothing attitude, a passive acceptance of the evil conditions in the world. You see? And the question we just read was, if there is only the presence of God and nothing in the material world means anything or is not real, then why do we do good works? Why bother being helpful or good if nothing you do on this outer world really matters? And we are told right here that the belief that the world is an illusion led to a do-nothing attitude, a passive acceptance of the evil conditions in the world. You see? So it doesn't mean that. Buddha's followers failed to see that it is not the world that is an illusion. The world is real. The illusion is in the misperception of the eternal divine spiritual universe, which is the only universe there is and which is here and now. Because of an illusory sense of the universe, however, the mortal scene appears as mortality, with all its errors, whereas it is in reality a divine universe. This world is God's world. It is the temple of the living God. But when we see it with finite eyes and ears, that is, with the glass darkly we were talking about, with the judgments of good and evil in the way, what we see and hear is but the illusory picture of the reality that is out there. The illusion, and this is underlined in my book, folks, the illusion is in the mind that is falsely seeing the world. The illusion is never out in the world. An illusion cannot be externalized. An illusion is a deceptive state of thought, and it can take place only within a person's mind, not outside it. And so you see, this world is that perfect creation now. The illusion, the only illusion there is, the only place where Maya is in thought. Exactly. It's in thought. So, With our human eyesight, we see a world constantly changing. A world made up of young, middle-aged, and old people, of the sick and the well, of the poor and the rich, of the unhappy and the happy. All this is an illusory picture in the mind. But because there is only one mind, it is an illusory picture in your mind and mine. Such a world has no externalized existence whatsoever. Now, I hope that makes it plain. But let's read on another, let's see, page or two, and then we'll finish up here, because this explains it so much better than I can. Now, we are aware of the world through our senses, but what the senses cognize is illusion. An illusion not outside the mind, but in it. The problem's in the mind, isn't it? The mind which is falsely seeing through a glass darkly. The glass darkly is in the mind. It's not out there. There is no false world out there. There is no material world out there. There is no structural universe out there. There is spirit formed, consciousness formed, God formed, and that is all. Everything we see that is not that is an illusion, but it's an illusion in the mind that it's falsely seeing that divine universe. To be able to understand and grasp this idea, however, is also to be able to grasp the idea that this illusion cannot be corrected in the outer picture. And do we see why when we are doing healing work, when we're practicing principles that heal, we are not healing anything out there? There's nothing out there to be healed. If someone presents a problem to you and asks for you to pray or meditate for them, you're not going to pray and meditate to heal them. You're going to pray and meditate to heal, to correct this picture that's in your mind. The treatment is given to yourself, to heal your own mind. That is why so much prayer fails. Through prayer, people are trying to improve the illusion, which if they succeeded in doing, would still be an illusion, except it would be a good illusion instead of a bad one. See, we want to step out of both of those, good and evil. God is not in this world, contrary to the doctrine of pantheism, which teaches that this world is a manifestation of God. Now, the world that he's referring to as this world is the world of good and evil in your mind, which teaches that this world is a manifestation of God, that God transforms himself into the world, so that God and the world are the same substance, though the form is different. If this were true, and if the world really were a manifestation of God and made of the substance of God, it would be eternal. And there would be no changing process going on, no aging, no dying, no decaying of either animate or inanimate objects. There would be no seasons if this world were of the substance of God, because it would then be of the substance of eternality and changelessness. God changes not. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is from everlasting to everlasting, and if this world were made of God's substance, it would be as immortal and as eternal as God, but it is not. It is changing moment by moment, dying every minute and every day. The erroneous assumption in the teaching of pantheism and of much of modern metaphysics is that man is spiritual, a human being is spiritual, that his physical body is spiritual, that trees and flowers are spiritual. This is true of the reality of these, but it is not true of the physical manifestation as it appears to us through the senses. Do we see, are we catching this, that it is the senses that is misinterpreting the divine kingdom? The senses are what's reporting good and evil. The good and evil is not out there in the divine kingdom. The good and evil is in the senses. The belief that there is good and evil is being reported by the senses. And so the senses can only report the carnal mind. If you are going by your senses, number one, I'm sure that you can't heal anything. If you're going by the senses, you're going by the reports of good and evil. And that's the illusion right there. We must transcend the senses to a place of spiritual discernment to catch glimpses of the divine kingdom that's out there. That is what heals. Now, I'm excited about this because this is the whole crux of the matter and I love it. If we could get this across, we could have the 10 righteous men that could save the city. Now, if the world were spiritual, we could eat our food and have it too. We could drive automobiles that would never wear out. Eternal automobiles. And we could have trees that would grow forever. But the substance of the forms we behold with the senses is not of that substance which is God. And once we perceive that, we shall understand the true meaning of the word illusion. He's going to repeat it. Which is that our perception of what we behold constitutes the illusion, okay? Our perception is the only place the illusion is. That's why when you have an awakening, you step out of the illusion. You haven't gone anywhere out here in the world. Only your perception's changed. It is not that there is an externalized illusion. It is only that what we behold is not the real substance of which it is made. It is of the substance of mind, the substance of universal mind. John told us that. He told us that in the very first part of his book. All things were made by God, and without Him was nothing made that was made. Genesis told us this. In the beginning God created, and then all of a sudden Lord God, the mind, formed. You see, we live and move and have our being in the spiritual universe. This is a spiritual universe. There is no other. It's my misinterpretation of that. It's my filtering that through faulty perception. And so the place to correct it is within my consciousness, not out there. And then he says, theism goes to the opposite extreme. Theism regards God and the world as two distinct substances, each having its own independent existence as a creation of God, yet not made of the same substance as God. How impossible it would be for God, the creative principle, to create anything unlike itself, anything different in nature and character from itself, anything other than consciousness. If consciousness is infinite, there is no other substance beyond consciousness, and the world of God's creating must therefore be consciousness. And the next question is, what about this physical universe? The answer to that is the Master's statement, "My kingdom is not of this world." This world is the world of the Adamic dream. This is the world of mortal conception. This is the world of mental projection. When we recognize this and are able to close our eyes and realize the I in the midst of us, this body loses its sense of mortality. I'm going to read that again. When we recognize this, that is, that this world is a faulty perception of the divine universe, it's a mortal conception, a mental projection. When we recognize this and are able to close our eyes and realize the I in the midst of us, this body loses its sense of mortality. Even the material universe loses its mortal sense and becomes what God's world really is, harmonious and perfect. So, don't you see, it's mortal sense that needs dissolving so that we can see with spiritual sense? The truth is that God is spirit, consciousness, and therefore all that really exists is God formed, God in manifestation. The world that we cognize with the five physical senses, however, is not the world of God's creating. It is the finite sense of the world which universal mind has created. With our mind, we cannot discern the world of God's creating, period. We do not see God's kingdom. We see only the human, limited, finite concept or mental image, only the physical concept of the spiritual universe. That is why it is changeable and changing, sometimes good and sometimes evil, sometimes sick and sometimes well, sometimes alive and sometimes dead. All these conditions exist only as concepts, not out there. It takes spiritual discernment to know the things of God. Let us not look at the visible world and call it spiritual. But on the other hand, let us not look at it and call it a creation separate from God. Let us rather cleave to the middle path, which leads to our inner spiritual center where we are the Christ of God and where we can see that we are one with the Father. Only inner discernment, inner light, only an inner vision that beholds something the eye does not see and the ear does not hear can discern the Christ or the spiritual universe. In our spiritual work, we are not deluding ourselves with the idea that this physicality that is wasting away in sin, disease, and death is spiritual. Nor are we trying to spiritualize it and make it perfect. We are looking through the appearance with inner discernment and there beholding the invisible, spiritual child of God who was never born and will never die, eternal, right here on earth. And this last piece here. The attaining of some measure of this spiritual vision is enough. It is an awareness that reveals that God is spirit, that all that really is must be spiritual, and that all the power there is, all the law there is, and all the life there is must be spiritual. There will never be any confirmation of this through our eyes, because spirit cannot be seen with your eyes. The eyes must be closed to the object of sense, so that we can inwardly behold God's creation. You see, we need a new pair of glasses, don't we? We need to see with a new vision, a new faculty. Something that has nothing to do with our five physical senses. Another sense. The development of spiritual consciousness is the greatest attainment there is. Only in the degree of this attained consciousness are we able to see the spiritual forms of God's creating. And I guarantee you, when you have spiritual discernment, you really can behold the universe of God's creating, a body of God's creating. You can behold God's eternal forms, God itself appearing. This has nothing to do with the development of the mind or any intellectual understanding. It is not attaining the feeling of knowing more than we knew yesterday. It is a matter of attaining a depth of inner awareness, an awareness that expresses itself not so much in words as in feelings. So now, as we look at this question again, if there is only the presence and nothing in the material world means anything or is not real, then why do we do good works? Why bother being helpful or good if nothing you do on this outer world really matters? And the second question, which is similar, is if the past never happened or the future never happens, and it is only the now, why do we have problems from the past that still plague us, or why do we plan for a vacation? And incidentally, I want the author of this question to know that this is a great question, because I have had to deal with this question myself, and everybody that is seriously studying this infinite way has also to cross this bridge and to ask this question. So it's a great question. And the answer, as I see it, is that we are not trying any longer humanly to do good or to be helpful. That we are not believing what the senses are telling us about this world needing patching up. No, we are not human do-gooders any longer. Now we are coming out from that, because we understand that that picture of a world that needs help and us rushing in to help someone is an erroneous picture. Now we're taking a different stance. Now we have become part of a spiritual underground that is knowing the truth where the picture appears to be. Now we are understanding that only God is good. Nothing we could do would ever be good anyway. And in fact, sometimes by doing good, we can create evil. What about the person that, the parent that enables their child who has the disease of alcoholism? What about the person that is always rescuing that child, when in fact that child needs to hit a kind of bottom and face responsibility and find a God of their own in order to solve their problem? That parent, by trying to do good, is standing in the way of that child finding God. And so that parent trying to do good is in fact maybe doing bad. And so we do not want to do good anymore. We want to do God, and that's quite different. By looking at these pictures that are presented to us and recognizing that only God is here, that this that I am seeing is not a reality and has no power to support it, often there are instantaneous healings where the situation corrects itself right in front of our eyes. And we just kind of get a little smile because we know what just happened. We don't go tell people about it. Heaven knows we don't need to get a big ego about this. But we do kind of smile within ourselves and say, "Thank you, Father," because we've witnessed that when God speaks, the earth melts. This faulty perception melts. So, we don't do good. We do God. And when we're in that state of rest and allowing God to flow through our consciousness, then God can use us. And sometimes God will use us to go hold someone in our arms, a child that is feeling frightened. Or sometimes God has, well, one time, well, I'm not going to get into particulars, but one time, the feeling came over me to do something for an elderly person that they couldn't do for themselves, and so I did it. But that was God using me, because it was an impression laid upon me. It wasn't something I thought of, well, gee, what can I do to be good today? And it wasn't really a tug on my heartstrings, on my emotions. No, it was direct inspiration, direct guidance that said, do this. And so I did it. And so that was God using me to do God's works. And so we're not doing good anymore. We're not doing evil anymore. We're not doing the doing anymore. We are beholders as God lives itself through us. And we are part of that spiritual underground that is recognizing that the only thing out here is the spiritual kingdom. And all other pictures are pictures in the mind being presented by that thing called Maya. And so we're not going to try to fix them anymore. We're simply going to recognize their nothingness, rest, and then let God have God's say on the matter, which just might dissolve the picture in front of you, in front of your eyes. Now, great question. Let's go on to another one. The second part of this one was, why do we make plans for vacations? And why does the past still plague us? Okay, if we are living in our humanhood, humanhood is really consists of the glass darkly. That's what humanhood is, the glass darkly. Just might as well just put it right out there. And so if you're carrying a past around you, you're not living in your Christhood, which lives only in the now. If you live only in the now, it's impossible to carry the past with you. Who did that past happen to? Did it happen to Christ? Did it happen to God? Did it happen to the spiritual universe? Or did it happen in a dream? Did it happen to a misperception? Did it happen to a mental image? Did it happen to a concept? Yes. And none of that is real. And yet it's stored up in our gray matter. And if we are not living in our Christhood, if we're not listening to that inner voice, we have only one other choice, and that is listen to the human mind. So, that is why we sometimes have these things bubble up. But I can tell you this, because I know it from experience, the more we live in the Christ mind, the more that false sense of mind is dissolved, and these things do stop coming. Honest to God, they really stop coming. They are dissolved. As far as planning for a vacation, it's something that we do. When we learn to, well, let me put it this way. The more of us that live in our Christ being, the more that we live and have that mind in us that was also in Christ Jesus, we start having these unusual experiences. I have had the experience of thinking of my good friend Alan, and 2 seconds later the phone ringing and there he is. And I know you've had some of those experiences too. And I've had the experience of needing to go somewhere in a city that I've never been to before, and running a little behind, and taking side streets and just zigzagging down there, coming out on from this one street right in front of the place I'm supposed to be. Okay? The divine mind is omniscience. And so, of course, it knows exactly where it's supposed to be. And it can commune with itself anywhere in the world. And more we will have these experiences. However, it is important when we're dealing with day-to-day things, not to upset anybody. We don't want to scare the children. And so, of course, we write down our appointments. You know, I don't go out here and say to the mailman when he comes by, "Hi, how are you today? Do you know that you have that mind which is in Christ Jesus? And do you know that all these letters have already been delivered because consciousness is omnipresent?" I think he would look at me a little peculiar. And so I don't set myself up that way. And so even though I know within my being that if I am to take a vacation to New Mexico, it's going to happen. And there's nothing I need to do to help it along, I still make the necessary arrangements. I call the airlines, I set up the appointment, I call my friend, I tell him when I'm going to be there, and then I drop it. I forget about it. And then when that day arrives, I look at my calendar, oh, I'm going to New Mexico. and I get on the plane and I go. And so there's nothing wrong with making plans for the future, like plans for a vacation, but then we drop it. We drop it because we're living in the now. Often we find like Joel found out, he told us in one of his talks that he was on his way from England to Southern California and Hawaii, and he asked, just out of the blue, he asked the ticket salesman, how would it be if I went back by way of South Africa? Now, of course, that's a pretty strange question, but the ticket salesman said, oh, no problem, we have a flight going here and here, and you can connect there. So you see, Joel was receiving guidance and direction as he went along. He made his plan, I'm sure, on that day, in a notebook somewhere, to go back home from England to Hawaii. Yet when he got to the ticket salesman, he had received guidance that said, ask him about South Africa. And when he got down there, he found out that there were 800 students there. So, you see, it's kind of a... we wear the world as a loose garment. We don't make... well, I write things in pencil because I never know when they're going to be changed. I quit using pen. I leave the roof off for guidance and direction. Anyway, I hope that helps with those questions. And now I wanted to move on to a comment because it was really good. This question was wonderful. And the comment is good too, so let me find it. Okay, this person says, I had an awareness come tonight on the one thing that some Infinite Way students don't want to hear. Nothing can happen to you except as an activity of your own consciousness. And isn't that the truth? I know when I first heard that, I sure didn't like it. I was still at the place where I wanted to blame people, places, and things. And to come to the realization that I'm responsible for my entire life. Because why? Because if it's going good and bad, it's in my mind. Then I need to come to look at this, come to grips with this, that nothing can happen to me except as an activity of my consciousness. And this person says, this is misunderstood by us because it seems at first like we're blaming until we are awakened to what it really means. And that's true. It doesn't mean that it's your fault when something goes bad. It means that you're either a pincushion, you're either a sponge, or you take charge of your own consciousness and you decide, no, I'm going to have an activity of consciousness like we talked about on the last talk. I'm going to have, on the talk, Unconditioned Mind, I'm going to take charge of my consciousness by having an activity of consciousness now. I'm going to work on knowing these truths and being receptive to that inner voice rather than just going along with whatever mental images are coming to me. So you're not to blame for being an instrument for world mind when you don't know that's what's happening. You're not to blame for the problem, but you are responsible for the solution. Once you know that there is work to do, then you're responsible if you don't do it. And this person goes on to say, mesmerism or hypnotism or world mind must have a consciousness to appear real or to appear to be happening in. It is like the mesmerism has found a receptive individual consciousness. And somewhere Joel says that when we desire to change or improve, and not until we acknowledge something is there that we need to change or improve, does that something become an avenue or area for an increasing problem? So whatever we find fault with, there is the state of consciousness that the mesmeric suggestion feeds on. Okay, and this person says that the hypnotism needs to be detected and cast out. And that's great. That's another wonderful comment, because it's true. What this person is realizing, and what we hopefully all are realizing together on this journey with this book, The Thunder of Silence, is that we are the children of God. And Paul told us, when I was a child, I walked like a child, I played with childish things, but now it's time to put away childish things, right? And that's what we're confronted with. We have lived as children, just accepting everything the world has to hand out. And wherever we saw someone to blame or some fault out there, that's the very place where we had a weakness. And that's the place where a world mind attacks us. For instance, let's say that I see somebody, I'm walking down the street, and I see somebody that's suffering from a head cold. And my heart goes out to them. See, that's where we would have the human being doing good works. My heart goes out to them. Oh, that poor person. Well, I have just identified the weakness. My sympathy went out there. I felt bad for what? An illusion in the mind. I'm hooked, aren't I? I've opened the door. Now, next week, I have the head cold because the world mind attacks me right where I found fault. Right where I saw the weakness. You see that? I believe that's what this person is saying, and it's a great observation. The moment that we identify that we're doing that is the time to go, wait a minute. No, there's no person out there with a head cold. And then close my eyes and realize, no, that was a mental image being presented here by that universal belief in good and evil, belief in God and another person. But I'm not accepting that anymore. I'm not feeling good about it. I'm not feeling bad about it. I'm not accepting it. It's a mental image, a nothingness. It was not made by God, and therefore it was not made. It has no power, no presence, no reality, no substance, no nothing. This is a spiritual universe, and only the Spirit is there, here, and everywhere. There is only God. Now, God reveal what is really here, and I listen. And there may be a quick, short breath, like there just was. And I open my eyes again, and I go about my business, and I don't know, maybe the person's totally free from that head cold this afternoon. That's not my business. I'm not trying to heal people out here. My business is to get free from the mental image being presented to me. See, this is all an internal thing we're doing here. In the end, we'll find out we stood in the same place until we woke up. That all this whole thing was taking place within. That we were always in the everlasting arms of our Father. But right now it seems like a journey, and the work that we do is internal, and we are responsible for our state of consciousness. We are responsible to keep guard at our mental portals. We are responsible to have an activity of consciousness, and so that was a great observation. So we have taken some comments and questions, and I look at the clock, and my goodness, it's been 45 minutes. And so we'll wrap this one up. But I hope that the point is crystal clear now, that there is no illusion ever out there. Maya is not some big giant thing out there. It's not out there. The only illusion that there is in the human mind, presented by the senses as a thought in the human mind. And so the only illusion is internal. Maya is internal. Maya is a glass darkly, a state of mind, a false perception of the divine, spiritual, perfect universe in which we are immersed. It's just like a drop of water immersed in the ocean. All the time, we're in the ocean. Well, here's a story. One day, there was a school of small fish swimming along, and a rather elderly, wise fish swam by and said, "Good morning, children. Isn't the water lovely this morning?" And he went on his way. And one of the small fish said to the others, "Water? What's water?" And they looked all over the ocean for water. "In him we live and move and have our being." And so let's awaken to that by handling these misperceptions, by knowing that the illusion isn't out there, it's in here. That I am not supposed to live a humanly good life or a humanly bad life. I'm not supposed to live a humanly life at all. I live, yet not I, but now Christ liveth in me. Thank you so much.